A61. Number 21B.
Yes, we continue with principle, and I think we have seen that the main point in principle is really to see that that which has been created by mind, as ideas of mind, in principle are gathered together into one governing principle, and that that gathering together forms not just a one relationship of ideas being inseparable with principle, because that could just as well be mysticism, but that that relationship of ideas to its principle is a systematic relationship, is a relationship that goes through the various categories and subcategories, so that there is a whole net, the whole system of ideas in which all the ideas are gathered together in one principle. That's why we are learning to reduce the infinite into categories and classifications and begin to see the relationships that exist between these categories. No matter if it's the categories between the synonymous term and synonymous terms, or between the four sides of the holy city with the four sides. Whenever we have categories within categories and combine them, we get system. So our whole attention is being given now more to think in categories and therefore to think in relationship and not so much to think in truths, in facts. So system leads to government. Also, when one considers the definition of government, that definition is not very much different, really, than system. The government is actually the ruling of that principle through it, through a system. That's government. That from one central intelligence, from one central point, principle, every detail of the whole system is governed harmoniously. So harmony, system, government just flows into each other. Here we have government as that which would now define how the principle of being must be the principle in every idea. That the principled nature of the one principle is deduced and translated through all the categories of principle to the point of each idea, where each idea is governed in a principled way. So we can see that government usually implies a whole hierarchy of categories. That's usually what government is, that it demands a whole hierarchy of classifications through which the one principle translates itself and transforms itself into that level, into that office, into that aspect which is unique to every idea. Therefore, we can see that a principle is not so much the control. What controls is actually mind's control through soul, where the greater governs the lesser. We can see that in a system, you have to have checking points where you check every time you go into a new category, that you don't leave the tonality of the category, and only through that control can the divine principle be translated to the very details without losing its nature. So control is not therefore a idea of principle. We had it under mind and under soul, whereas principle is that which just first programs, so to say, the way of governing every detail through a system. That's government. Therefore, the government which we have in science is not democracy, because democracy would mean that you have people governing. So the government in science is therefore theocracy, the government of God, where everyone is governed by its principle, and not by people, not by organization, not by anything, not even governed by medicine, not governed by the weather, not governed by party politics, by nothing at all. Our whole being, our whole body, our whole health, our whole relationship, our whole activities, our whole business, whatever it is governed by a principle, the principle of being. Therefore, whatever needs to be governed, be it the body, be it the business, be it relationships, is under the government of the divine principle, if we are Christian scientists. Therefore, we can see how Mrs. Eddy in the textbook only states the government of principle and of nothing else. She acknowledges in the textbook no other government than the government of principle. So, we come further. What we have here, principle is absolute. Yes. Principle is absolute, and as shades of absolute, we see that principle is the authority, because it's a principle's government is actually autocratic, absolutely autocratic. You can't do a thing against it. You jolly well have to give in when principle governs. So it's divinely autocratic, not humanly autocratic, but divinely autocratic. It's absolute. It's apodictical. Mrs. Eddy speaks about the imperative principle. Do you hear in here now the power sense of principle? After having stated what constitutes the inner consistency of a principle through its harmony and system and government, now we come to another aspect of principle, that through that kind of channel, of the channel of system, principle operates in an absolute way, apodictical way, imperative way, in an authoritative way. It's really the dictatorship of principle. So we get here the divine sense of autocracy, of dictatorship, where we really see what may come up as a counterfeit, namely dictatorship of people and autocracy of people, is really a counterfeit of something very good, namely the autocracy of the divine principle. That's what actually the prophets have seen when they began to prophesy. They could see at their time, and it was at the time of the 4,000-year period, so equal to the fourth day of creation, that the idea of government broke in as a government that is irrepressible, irresistible. You have in the fourth day of creation, we have the government of the heavenly bodies, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, showing the relationship in which these heavenly bodies are operating, defining that relationship, the greater and the lesser, and so on. It gives a sense of system and government. In the 4,000-year period, we have the kingdom period. King always stands for an idea of government, of principle. It is not until the 4,000-year period break on Israel that they ask for a king. We have right at the beginning of the 4,000-year period, around about 1,000 BC, we have the demand of Israel, give us a king. They wanted to be governed by a central authority. And naturally, Samuel was warning them very heavily against the king. He just told them what hell would be let loose if they had a king, and what would happen with them if they had a personal king. But they wanted it. So he said, all right, you can have it. And I tried to give you the best I can, and he gave them first Saul, and he didn't make the grade. Saul didn't make the grade. So he had to trace his steps backward and had to take David and make David a king. And it is interesting to see that David was not crowned as king, was anointed as king, hidden away, nobody knew it really, and Saul as king was still reigning. It's a wonderful symbol of what happens when a spiritual idea like Israel can no more see the true light, can no more see the true government of the divine principle. It asks for a personal government. And then Samuel tried to do the nearest best, but he couldn't make the grade. Saul just was a bad king. But hidden away, while Saul was reigning, while Saul was the king, there was another king, the smallest of the tribe, the most unrecognized one of the family, little David, as a shepherd boy. He was anointed as king. And he was king before anybody recognized him as a king. And that's always so. An idea will always be born in Bethlehem, away somewhere in a stable, unrecognized, unknown by the crowd, unknown by the authorities, but it has a crown, and it just has to wait until the right moment comes, and then David became king of Israel and of Judah. And you can see that an idea must be king, and not somebody nominated must be king, must have the theocratic government on his shoulder. So we feel here that when a divine principle is ruling, it rules in an absolute way, governs in an apodictical way, imperative way, and nothing can withstand it. Can you feel now the different tone of principle compared with the other three? You must make that a rule to study a synonymous term, and as you study a synonymous term, stop for a while and say, now, what is now the very different tone that differentiates this synonymous term from the others you know already? So that through differentiation, we get a better feeling, a better sense of a synonymous term. Here, in principle, you always have that sense, how is the relationship of principle and idea? In mind, mind is the creator of all ideas, but we didn't consider in mind the relationship that exists between mind and mind's ideas. We didn't consider that. We didn't consider how these ideas are brought back into to mind. But we have only seen that mind is the creator of those ideas. But the moment we have principle, we consider principle idea, always idea, principle, idea, principle. How do they relate to each other? Their unity, their interrelationship, and can see here that principle is that which says, I'm the principle of all ideas. I govern all these ideas. I'm not creating these ideas. Principle doesn't create these ideas. Principle governs these ideas and says to every idea what this idea is due to do, what their job is, what their office is, what they have to do, what they have to accomplish, and binds them all together into one system, which is absolute. We have another one, never pardons, principle never pardons. Yeah, well, we took it in because Mrs. Eddy says so. Seems to be a bit out of tone, this never pardons, but one naturally can see what she means, that if principle is apodictical, imperative, that it is not going to change itself, that it's not going to change its character, that it says, I'm jolly well going to be what I am and I'm operating the way I am. I'm not going to say I'm sorry that I worked the way I did, or I'm not going to let any error pass by. I'm apodictical, I'm imperative. And so it does not pardon, and we'll come back to it when we go through the references, but what it naturally demands, it demands correction. It demands that everything is brought in line with the principle. That's why it never pardons. It says, I never pardon. The only pardon I know, principle says, is that you come again back to principle. This is really, you know, when one knows the Bible also in the big tones, I don't know the Bible in the little nice little stories and so on, but in the big outlines, in the 4,000 year period, which is the kingdom period, and then especially the prophetic era, it's quite interesting, really, to see what the prophets were telling. When you read through and ask yourself, what are the prophets telling that we should do, that Israel should do? Then you are quite surprised that there are hardly any indications to that what Israel should do. Quite different, say, to the beginning of the Old Testament, in the first, second, and third thousand period, where Moses was there and told the people very well what they should do, how they should go about, and what they are allowed to do, and what they are not allowed to do, and how they should trace their steps, and so on. It was one command after the other, one guiding after the other. But when the prophets began to teach, they didn't teach them, well, you know, Israel, you should behave this way, and you should behave that way, and actually you should do this and that, and it would be good if you would do this and that. Nothing at all. They just hammered it down and said, God will come, the divine principle is reigning, and you can't do anything against it. The principle is now reigning. And they stated what principle is going to do. And didn't ask what the people should do, except one thing, always. Only one thing they said to Israel, come back to the Lord. Come back to the Lord. That's the only thing they always said. Draw near to the Lord. That's the only thing. Can you see the demand of principle? That apodictical principle which just has one thing and says, be aligned to God. Be aligned to principle. If you are aligned to principle, then every detail of what you do is right anyway. Then all the ideas are governed by your principled attitude, then anything you do will be aligned to the Lord. Can you hear the tone of principle here that says principle never pardons? The only pardon it knows is Israel should come back to the Lord. How is the English version that said come back to the Lord, draw near to the Lord? Huh? Yeah. Well, I think that was the rendering they always had. Yeah. It's a bit different. I have it somewhere in my mind that it doesn't come quite into my mouth at the present moment. Return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. That was the great cry. That's the cry of principle. It says here always, you don't ask for pardon. Say, I'm sorry what I did, and now please, principle, pardon me. Principle, Mrs. Eddy says, never pardons. But in order that we can correct the mistake, it says, return to the Lord. That's your pardon, so to say. Return to the Lord. Align yourself to the Lord, which is actually what we have afterwards, obedience to principle. I think you have there in your notes as a further capitalized term in capital letters, obedience to God. Now, is obedience to God an idea, principle? Judy? No. Huh? Principle cannot be obedient. Huh? Does not need to be obedient. Yes? Therefore, why should we still somehow nurture this idea as something that has to do with principle? How would you state it now?
Well, it's what we've been talking about all week. It's the human viewpoint.
Yeah, absolutely. Huh? It is now a principle, the apodictical principle, translating itself to the point of the human and awakening in the human a principled attitude. Huh? An attitude to principle is obedience. That's the main point. So here we get that category of the human approach to principle is obedience. Can you see that it isn't mind? That it isn't spirit? Can you see that? Obedience means adherence to be at one with, to be aligned to be in absolute Übereinstimmung, agreement with. Yes? That's obedience. So here we have the impact of principle on the human, which demands obedience. Therefore, can you see that somehow honesty is another motion in the human that belongs to principle? Would you put honesty on the soul? Or on the spirit, somehow it wouldn't, you wouldn't feel happy. The only place where it belongs to is principle. Why? Can you explain perhaps your feeling? You couldn't read it in any statement. Why should honesty be that which belongs to principle's attitude?
Well, you must be principled to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
You must have a principle.
You must have a principle to be honest?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
An honest man is a principled man.
An honest man is a principled man. Yes. Yes. How could you further
purification of an attitude towards principle, pure, straightforward, obedient.
To a principle, that's what you tried also to say, Frank.
I was going to say also that obedience in itself will bring about us. Obedience to the principle would automatically make
you honest. Will make you honest. Yes.
I get a sense of principle and principle's oneness, because a principle and idea is one. You can't separate honesty from its source, which is principle. The integrity of principle.
Yes.
Is its oneness.
Yes. Then, do you know where we have honesty in the textbook, perhaps? It's on a principle, and where does Mrs. Eddy speak about, that's asking too much, about honesty? The fourth prayer, false prayer, is all the prayer of honesty. Don't you know the textbook? Don't you know the textbook? Huh? False prayer is the prayer of honesty. In the textbook where she says, honesty is what? When you bring everything within you in line with a principle, where your words are brought in line with principle, where your thoughts are brought in line with principle, where your actions are brought in line with principle, where your motives are brought in line with principle. The whole fourth prayer of soul is the prayer of honesty, which means to bring everything. You see, principle must always have a lot of ideas, not one, where everything within us, that's the universe, is brought in line to one principle. So that not the words have another principle than our thoughts, and that our actions have not another principle than our words, that our life actions have not another principle than our than our motives. It's a terrific prayer there, which says, we call it the prayer of honesty, to bring everything in accord with principle. Yes.